Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
If today you hear his voice, what? Harden not your hearts. Exactly right. You know, God does speak. God speaks to us. If we have a heart open to hear him, he will speak to us. And so we have to pray that our heart is not hardened, that our heart is open, that we put ourselves in a place that we could hear the voice of God. This woman at the well, she had come to a place where she was capable of hearing the voice of Jesus. And lo and behold, she had an encounter with him. And he spoke and she heard. I'm thinking of a person who I know of who had a hard heart. A young man very much caught up in a worldly life, an empty life, a dark life. And this young man worked as an exterminator. You know what an exterminator is? And he was exterminating the bugs in somebody's house, a condo, I think. And the owners came back while he was there. You know, he had a key, they had a contract, the bug man would come in so often. Well, there he was. And lo and behold, this young man who was kind of in a bad place morally, spiritually, he met these folks. And lo and behold, they had just returned from a Holy Spirit retreat. And he confided in them because he asked them, "Where have y'all been?" Because they came back with their bags. He confided in them that he had had a horrible dream. He had had a dream that was so real that he was convinced that it was more than a dream. And in this dream, an evil power said to him, "You're mine. I own you. You cannot escape from me." And that it was as if this demon were trying to crawl into him, and he was fighting it off. And he woke up, and it was not like just another bad dream. It was like this was real, like something was happening. And he confided in this couple that this had happened. And so they, being full of the Holy Spirit like they were, said, "Let's lay hands on him. Let's pray." And they prayed, and they called on God's power and God's presence and God's peace. And that young man who had lived so much of his life hard and dark and away and skeptical and negative, there began to sense God's love and God's peace, even God's rest. See, this young man was thirsty for God. He didn't know he was thirsty for God, but he just begun to figure out that he was thirsty for God. There is a great thirst in the world. There is a great thirst, maybe in your family, maybe among your children, your grandchildren, maybe you. And Jesus comes. He meets this woman at the well and asks her for a drink, but all the while he knows he has something for her. He just needs her to open up to him. St. Augustine, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Our hearts are thirsty until you satisfy our thirst. Come to me and I will give you rest." I have a confession to make. Sometimes when I'm flipping the channels, there's a show that's on. I'm not sure what network it's on, but anyway, it's called My 600-Pound Life. Some of you have heard of it. I'll stop on it sometimes. And the show is this. The premise is these people have gained so much weight that their life has become completely unmanageable. In some cases, in many cases, they can't even get out of bed. They lay in bed and people bring them food and that's their whole life. They're in bed. Now I want to ask you, are they resting? Do they have rest? No, not at all. The furthest thing from it. Are they hungry and thirsty in a way that all the food in the world's not going to satisfy it? Absolutely. They have this thirst. They have this need for rest. And Jesus comes to slake our thirst and to give us rest. There is a great thirst in the world. You know, and again, I think all of us in some way or another experience it. All of us are encountering Christ. All of us, hopefully, the deeper and deeper places in us that God needs to come and light the darkness and bring us rest and satisfy our thirst are being exposed. And this woman in the well, the woman by the well, I should say, is a great example for us. She is us in many respects. When Jesus approaches her, he says to her, "Give me a drink." The Samaritan woman. The Samaritans and the Jews did not like each other. The Jews considered themselves pure, holy. They had the right religion. The Samaritans were defiled, pagans, worshiping false gods. And so the Jews wouldn't even touch something that a Samaritan touched, let alone drink from something that the Samaritans touched. So she knew, "Who are you? How can you speak to me? I'm beneath you." But our Lord speaks to her, "Give me a drink." How can you ask me for a drink? And then Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who's speaking to you, if you knew what I'm trying to offer you, you would ask me and I would give you. But before he can give her anything, he needs her to be open to him. That's what that question's all about. Give me a drink. She's thirsty. She's aware of her physical thirst. She's aware of something empty inside of her. She's aware of an appetite that she has. But there's another appetite that she's not aware of yet, the same as the bug man's appetite. There was something more in life that he didn't even know he was missing until he knew how powerfully evil was coming over his life. You know, St. Augustine observes that she is thirsty and God is thirsty for her salvation. I've told you all this, those of you that have come here for a while, you've heard me talk about Mother Teresa's convents, and in Mother Teresa's convents, they have a cross on the wall, and on the cross on the wall, there's a quotation of Jesus, and it says, "I thirst." And it's Jesus thirsting for our soul. Who is this woman? This woman is all of us, in a sense. Did you hear what time of day she came to the well? If you paid attention to the reading or if you've ever studied this gospel before, it was noon. It was high noon. And she lived in a desert environment. And let me tell you something. You don't even have to be an expert on the Bible to know this. You don't go to the well at noon in a desert because it's hot and it's dusty and it's windy. But Jesus knew she was going to be there, right? Because he has every hair on her head counted, right? Because he's God from God and light from light and true God from true God. And he knew she was going to be there. So he was there waiting for her. And she came alone. You know why she came alone? Because she was an outcast. Because she didn't fit in. Because she didn't belong. Because she didn't have the Gucci purse. She couldn't play the reindeer games. She didn't have the right shoes. She didn't belong to the right club. She was a nobody. They would not have wanted her to be around, and she didn't want to be around them. So she went by herself when it was hot and dusty and dry. And Jesus meets her and says to her, "Give me a drink." And he is thirsty for her soul. And all of us are represented. How many husbands? Five. Those five husbands, they represent for us the delusion that the next iPhone, the next vacation, the next husband, the next car, the next promotion, the next trophy, the next thing is going to satisfy that deepest place in us. And those five husbands didn't do it. And she wanted something more, and Jesus spoke to her in that place. So Jesus Christ comes to satisfy our thirst. If you knew who's talking to you, you would ask him and he would give you living water. But first, she must give herself to him. My brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is saying to you and to me tonight, give me a drink. Give me a drink of your soul. Give me yourself, and I will make you a well of living water springing up to the world. How is it that we enter into a conversation with Jesus? By prayer. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but give yourself a chance to hear his voice by going out to the well. Go alone. Go in your silence and let our God say to you, give me a drink, and let him fill you with living water.